Good evening, one and all. Yes, I know. Another week, another Tuesday, and another book and a chat. Well, this time of year in England, one of the big things that, well, especially children, but actually they've brought some adult versions out now, that people used to go to the theatre, or still go to the theatre, and watch what is called, as we have in England, a pantomime, which is basically nursery rhyme with sort of dames, men playing the women, the comedy part, the leading man is a woman, and all this, and it's things like Mother Goose and Aladdin and stuff like that. It's funny. That's the whole idea about it. It is very funny, very interactive, and as I said, they've now brought a few adult versions out, which are totally different. If you get a chance, look for Jim Davidson and his version of, what was it? Cinderella. Yes. Yeah, it is funny. Anyway, talking about plays, you see, we've had a lot. There is method in my madness when I do this. My guest today, he, like several other people we've had on the show, has gone from writing books to actually doing a play. Now, we've had some people the other way that have gone from plays to writing books, but this man, he's gone from one to the other. What more can I say about him? Well, he was deemed Chief Human Resources Officer of the Year for US nonprofit back in 2016. But now he is writing a play, and not a normal sort of play, something a little bit different, but we better find out. I better introduce him first, haven't I? Because on the show today, I have the one and only Tim Mulligan. Hi, Tim. How you doing?
Hey, I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
I am fair to middling. This is what I always say. People say, how are you doing? At my age, I woke up this morning. That's a good thing. That's all I could ask for.
Well,
but it's good to
have. Good start.
Yeah. Exactly. Good to have you on the show. As I said, you've sort of, in the past, and you know, you've sort of written books, including a bestseller, if I remember right. Is that right?
Yeah, I wrote, in 2016, 17, I came out with a business book. You know, my day job, I'm a human resources leader. So I wrote a book about leadership and resiliency and management, especially kind of detailing all. I spent about 14 years as a head of HR for the world famous San Diego Zoo. So I wrote a book about that. And that came out and did pretty well. And that was my first and only book.
And that was called Roar, if I remember right.
Yeah, it's called Roar, How to Build a Resilient Organization, the world famous San Diego Zoo Way.
There you go. Now, obviously, with that, I mean, you know, especially even more so with working at a place like that, the interaction with the public is one of the priorities, apart from, obviously, the safety aspect as well. So it puts you in all sorts of sort of leads to perhaps what you've done now, which is write a play.
Yeah, I mean, I've been on, besides my business world job, I've been on a board member of live theaters for many years, first in San Diego, and now I actually live in Seattle, where I currently live. And so I've been on the business side of theaters, but I've never written a play. So this is my first kind of foray into not just writing a play, but then seeing my play get a full-on,
wow,
you know, production and launch. Yeah.
And of course, unlike most people, they didn't just write a normal play about sort of subject that a lot of people write. Oh no, you have to write a horror type play, but it includes all sorts of things like the climate change and mental illness and, you know, suppression of the news and all that sort of stuff, racism. I mean, you know, you didn't just go in half-hearted, did you? You went in full bore on this one.
You know, I'm a theater junkie, a theater lover, but I'm also a lover of scary things and horror. And one thing I've always kind of lamented about is I think there's a real dearth in the theater world of plays that are scary and kind of sharing that collective experience, you know, of people in a live theater being scared together. And so I know many plays have done versions of it, and I've seen some that I really did like, but never ones that really scared the socks off of people. And I really wanted to create a play that would have people screaming and laughing all the way throughout.
Right.
And that was my goal. That was my goal with this play, Witchlands.
Yeah, well, the nearest thing, I guess, you know, as you say, there just aren't plays. I mean, you know, aren't plays that would scare you. I mean, the nearest thing is if you get a magician, you know, one of those ones that cuts their hands off and blood spurts everywhere, or sticks pins in their noses and, you know, all that sort of stuff. But you don't have, like you said, you know, you've got, like, I guess, Dawn of the Dead and stuff like that, but you don't have a play that, like, as if you were going to an X-rated cinema film sort of thing.
Yeah, and I know a lot of theaters on the business side would wish there were, because it would be almost like you do, you know, a Christmas Carol or It's a Wonderful Life
yep.
every year at Christmas time. How what there is not is, you know, a readily, you know, available catalog of those Halloween or scary shows that you can have a tradition of as well. And so I really wanted to kind of put something out there that would possibly fill that niche.
Well, I know we, yeah, my wife and I, we go to, we're in Connecticut, and we go to the Hartford Stage. Well, we were, not this year, not last year, but every year to see Christmas Carol, and they have it in the program, warning about the ghosts. You know, they have the, you know, the ghosts come out and stuff like that. And, you know, it is a bit frightening for the kids, but they like it like that. You know, it's how it is. And to actually have a play that covers a lot more of that, I'm sure a lot of people, well, I'll ask you now, have a lot of people said, you know, this feels a niche that we just haven't had?
That's correct. And so I definitely you do not want to bring the younger kids to this one. It's definitely my goal was to write something for the adults.
Uh-huh.
And maybe even to cater for folks. I have a lot of friends in my world who don't really like plays or don't really like going to theater. So I thought, let's create something fun, like a fun night out for adults, almost like going to a haunted house.
Right.
Actually, but where there's a giddiness and anticipation of being scared. And it's just a quick 85 to 90 minute, no intermission. You don't catch your breath. You laugh and scream all the way through it, and you come out just having a great time. That was my goal with this play.
And Witchland seems to have done that from, you know, reading what people say about it. Has it surprised you how well it's been accepted?
Yeah, I mean, I've never seen a play before.
Right.
So, I mean, this is all new to me. I mean, my goal, during COVID, it would hit in, you know, early kind of 2020. I found myself like everybody else inside and kind of locked down. And I thought, well, I'm going to, and working from home with our day jobs. And so I really took that, as an opportunity to cross something off my bucket list and take a shot at writing this play. So I spent my time of 2020 and into just earlier this year knocking out my first play. And so, I thought nobody would ever see this play or even, you know, it would see the light of day.
Right.
I mean, just earlier this year in May, I floated it past some theater folks that I know in San Diego, one theater company in particular that I thought that they do, you know, more edgy
yeah.
new works. And I thought might be the ones to at least give me some advice on it. But,
yeah.
So I did a reading with them, and they, within 2 days, let me know that not only did they love the play, but they wanted to help me, you know, produce it and have it be their first kind of post-COVID major
wow.
production. So, I mean, it's gone very fast. That was just in May. We did a reading in June in front of a bunch of theater folks right mm-hmm. when COVID restrictions were lifted in California. And then next thing you know, flash forward to now, we just finished a 4-week run.
Most wow. sold
out in San Diego. And so the audiences reacted just as beautifully as I hope they would, and the critics kind of went crazy, and it just
terrific.
It really for a first time out of the gate
yeah.
it's gone amazingly well.
And it's just one act, isn't it?
It's one act. I wanted to also, besides tell a great story and have some fun and laughs in the theater, I also wanted to kind of look at theater a bit differently and make sure it had some immersive elements as well. So When you first get to the theater, there's a kind of a pre-show, and this part of the fun is actually just getting through the theater to your seat. So all told, it's about a 90-minute experience. But yes, it's a one-act show.
Okay. interesting what you said there about sort of making it more of a whole experience, just not walking in there and sitting down to your seat. I think that's great that you get that. I mean, I've been to, I went to, it was a fundraising thing, and it was for, an English actor called Terry Thomas. 50s, 60s, he used to play the English cad, had a sort of gap in his teeth. He was in Mad Mad World and lots of other bits and pieces like that. Anyway, he'd gone down with Parkinson's, and somebody found out that he'd spent most of his money had gone trying to treat Parkinson's. One of the London radio stations put on, basically within 2 days, an impromptu fundraising event in London. And they got like about 25, 30 acts that, you'd pay to see normal, let alone in a show with everything in. Anyway, my then wife and I, she got the tickets and we went up, because you have to pick them up from the radio station. I mean, literally it was the next day, pick up tickets sort of thing. And the show was the next day. So we went there and we're sitting down and noticed the seat next to us was empty and looked around and there was a few other seats empty and stuff like that. Anyway, we're sitting there and, these people sort of come in and sit down to us and, turned around to this person I was sitting next to as he came and sat down. It was Phil Collins. And what they did was the acts, when they weren't on the stage, came and they were sitting with you in the audience, which was terrific. I mean, it was just like talking to a normal person. Yeah, well, not, it is a normal person, but it was, like everyday sort of thing. But the fact that they were in the audience and thus part of the audience, just getting up for their turn, basically, it was terrific. And I can imagine that with your play, making it a complete experience, something like that. Have you had sort of people remark on that?
Oh, yeah. It's been part of the fun is that, to make the play really scary and to have people just kind of on edge, you can't just have, at least in my estimation, some, things jumping out on the stage and making you gasp. Yes, I do have a lot of that. But to me, once I wrote the play and got it all staged and figured out, then I went back and said, okay, now how can I really use the theater in a way that people are always on edge, looking around them, not knowing what's going on? So
right.
we have, the play's about a witch, and I can talk about that, but there's witches, coming down aisles, coming in from the back of the theater.
Oh, great. Great.
We have actors, just like you said with Phil Collins, kind of strategically placed in the theater that jump up and scare you and scream and run on stage at inopportune times. We actually, this theater was a bleacher style. So we actually, the theater company even took it a step further and was actually kind of grabbing people's feet and jumping seats, shake. And so, almost like a 4D experience where, things are happening all around you as well as on the stage. So, and it really got people talking and got people excited. We even divvied up, we even kind of made some scaredy cat seats, we called them, versus full scare.
You're terrific.
You'd be scared in the front couple rows. So, it really was, an experiment.
An immersive
experience, but it really, even the critics had a blast with it. So it's something... I wanted people to come out of there and say, God, I've never seen a play like that.
Right.
That was my goal.
That's why we like going to Hartford, because it's in the round, and it's level. It's not a stage. So you're sitting there and they're in front of you sort of thing. And of course there's like three exit aisles, in entrance aisles that you come into the place, and that's where the ghosts come down, if not from holes in the stage or dangling from the ceiling sort of thing. And it does, it makes you feel part of it. And I can imagine something like that would be terrific. I mean, never mind the play, it's an experience almost, It's like people going, as you said, to, the haunted, the haunted things.
Like a haunted house.
Exactly. Yeah. That sort of thing. Where you go and you walk through the theme park near us has one. And you walk through this sort of area and these people sort of come out, pop out the walls or, they're all camouflaged and you can't see them till they sort of turn round and speak to you, or you suddenly get somebody grab your shoulder. I mean, that's part and parcel and making it experience. That sounds absolutely terrific to me.
Yeah, I think, that was the fun part of it. But I think that, what really you needed to have, though, was a great story and great actors.
Oh, yeah.
And so I made sure that so the play was, you know, the play is the thing. So the play was really what I wanted to focus on first.
Right.
And then all the other stuff was kind of additional, you know, kind of gravy on it. So, but my goal was to really write a great story as well that people would really relate to and it's based on a true story as well.
The interesting thing, on a true story as well, did you say?
Oh yeah, when I first started to write this play, I thought, well, I'm going to write what I know about. So I wrote about my hometown, and my hometown is a little town in eastern Washington State called Richland, Washington, the Tri-Cities, and it's the home of the Hanford nuclear plant, where back in the 40s, the government created this town to produce plutonium and to make atomic bombs to use in the war, which they did. And so this is a Hanford nuclear reactor that for years made plutonium and that was used in bombs and they quit making the plutonium in the 80s, but now it's a multi-year, multi-billion dollar cleanup of all the toxic material.
Yeah.
And it's been called by many reports as the most toxic city or area in the whole country.
Wow.
So that right there is rife, you know, for story, and unfortunately over the years thousands of people have got sick there, you know, from being, you know, and had lawsuits, and there's stories of cancer and all sorts of issues about growing up in a town with so much, you know, radiation and toxicity.
Yeah.
But then you throw into that, you know, every town has its kind of lore of either a haunted house or, you know, a murder house or a witch. And for me, there was a house that I was told in high school that a witch lived in. So my friends and I just became very obsessed with this house that had really strange things happening around it. So I wrote a story about the play is about a couple in Seattle. It's a gay couple who with their African-American daughter and their two white men. And if you drop them into this very non-diverse town where there are already fishes out of water and put them, one of them working out of the nuclear plant where there's radiation. And what if they're living in a house across from a witch? And so all this stuff happens to them. It gets scarier and scarier. And so the idea is, the audience has to kind of figure out what's real and what's not, and what's happening because of the nuclear radiation of the plant, or what's happening because perhaps there's a witch across the street.
Right.
Making this stuff happen. So I really wanted folks to really kind of make their own interpretation. But if you take a witch and you take a Hanford, the nuclear reactor, that right there was enough fodder for me to make a really scary story.
Of course. And you touch on, you know, especially this day and age with everything, you know, that's been going on, about mental illness as well, so that it brings in something that people have to think about as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in the play there is a woman who lives across from this family who obviously has some issues wrong with her. There's some kind of stories about what happened to her over the years. Some of it might be based on the town and the radiation and being growing up there during that time. But also we do acknowledge that whatever the case is, she does have some mental illness issues and, you know, I try to address it in a way where she does get the care she needs, but you know, until we get to that point, a lot of scary stuff happens.
Right. How does it feel? Yeah. How does it feel sort of, not perhaps being on the other, well, yeah, being on the other side a bit from, you know, what you'd done before. You're not just watching a play and seeing people done. This is your work. This is your baby. How does it feel to actually finally see what you've written down on paper, yeah, being there in real life?
It's been really incredible, really amazing. I have a unique, I think, sense of humor and I put all that into this story, and what's been really kind of vindicating and really great is to see audiences just howling with laughter,
right,
screaming in all the right places. And it just, you know, it's amazing to see that what I put down without even a lot of editing to the words, I think that just the words on the script, you know, it's not improvised, it's all scripted, is telling such a great story, and it's making people laugh, which, you know, I think everyone who's seen it, from the critics to the many guests, patrons who've seen it, all talked about how, you know, laugh out loud funny it is, but also how they were laughing and covering their eyes and screaming as well.
The so same side, right?
That I couldn't ask for, you know, two better things.
No,
to happen, you know, laughing,
no,
and screaming. So it's been great to see it.
That's
and to
terrific.
Be and to be a part of the entire process.
Exactly.
But, you know, now, from script to production. So yeah.
Indeed. You've put it on in, you know, your sort of local area. Has there been any sort of people questioning it from, you know, other areas, want to perhaps put it on in their own town?
Yeah, so far. So, the you know, I've been really fortunate. The first group that I pitched it to, they're called the Backyard Renaissance Theater Company. They're an amazing theater group, really, really renowned in San Diego.
Uh-huh.
They're the ones who jumped at it. They produced it. They did a month-long production. While there, other theaters started, I think, hearing about it, and now we, you know, I can't give away too many details because it's not for sure yet, but we're hoping that it gets a full production up here in Seattle.
Great. It's
such a Northwest-based story.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, I have, you know, through things like word of mouth and situations like this, I do have other theater groups now calling as well. So I'm really hoping it does have a life out there after San Diego.
That's terrific. That's great stuff. Yeah. Great stuff. Now you sort of, you know, got your, bloodied your teeth, so to speak. are you going to do something else? You got something else in the pipeline?
Yeah, you know, I once I finished Witchland and kind of got it up and running, I started writing the next one. So I've already written a follow-up, a sequel, and I've kind of envisioned myself writing a three-part play, which is, you know, a really scary version. That's the first one. And then one that's more darkly funny, that's the second one, that's done. And now I have a third one I'm almost done with, which is more of a thriller. So I thought I would test my writing skills and do a different genre for each part of this kind of triptych.
Spreading it right out there. Okay.
Yeah, so I hope to keep going, yeah.
Great. How did you find, I mean, obviously with your experience and that perhaps writing a play wasn't that hard for you, but a lot of people who have written, you know, fiction stuff, and then go onto a play. There's a difference between in a book, you're using words to paint a picture, to explain the scenario and stuff like that. Whereas in a play or in a film, it's a visual thing. Did you sort of find that, any issues with that?
Well, it was super challenging, but like I said, I'm such a junkie and fan of live theater that I feel the whole time I was writing, I was envisioning myself in a theater and what would this look like? I knew what the characters looked like, what the stage would look like, what the set should look like, where the music should go and how it I had that in mind the whole time. And so, cause I was really trying to create kind of a visceral experience. And so, yeah, it's challenging, but, you know, I think that that's part of the fun and that's what I wanted to put out there. I thought about doing a screenplay. I thought about writing fiction. I might, who knows, but for now I have such a love of live theater. And I think that now that I've seen what something like this can do, I'm kind of, you know, prompted now to keep at it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, well, you look at the likes of Rocky Horror Show, you know, eventually that became, that became a film. Never think it quite was as good as seeing it as a play.
Sure.
But, you know, it shows it can be done, although it might not be so good. try to be honest. But of course the thing is you get something like that, especially being a one act thing, you know, it's an easy thing to do into a film, I'd have thought, in that case. You know, you haven't got a sort of meanwhile 10 years later sort of thing, you know, and people go in the shower and fall asleep and
I think it's a story that I think begs to be told. I think that, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, kind of pull through the mud my hometown, but I think that it's amazing that, you know, a town that's been called the most radioactive or toxic town in the country, I'm surprised that there hasn't been, you know. It's just a well-kept secret. It's just a well-kept secret that it's there, that the cleanup is still happening. How many people have either been whistleblowers there or have died or got sick? How many lawsuits have been? And so it's just a story that I think people are really interested in because it's something they've never heard of and they can't believe they haven't heard of it. And then you put a fun story around it and that makes it more educational and entertaining. Right.
Yeah, indeed. So, well, what has been entertaining is chatting to you on the show, but time is starting to go. So what I'm going to do now is hand the show over to you, Tim, so you can tell everybody where people can find more about you, about your play and everything else. So over to you.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you. So, yeah, so the play just finished a month-long run. It's called Witchland, WITCH Land. The best way to learn about the play, and hopefully you'll see it in a theater near you, is check out the website. It's witchlandplay.com. It tells you all about the play and the history and myself and future productions, and that's probably the best place to go for now to learn about Witchland.
Okay. Well, it's terrific. So I mean, from what you're saying and what I've read in that, it's going to be a big hit no matter where it is. And more power for you. And hopefully the next ones and everything, perhaps when the next ones come out and everything, you'll come back to chat with us again. But meanwhile, thank you for being a guest on my show. It's been terrific having you as a guest. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Well, there you go. How about that, eh? Sounds terrific to me. And, you know, look, reading through what people said about it and everything, it's Tim's, with his experience and everything like that, has made a big hit in a gap. There was a definite gap in the market, and he's found it and he's filled it, and good success to him. But that was Tim Mulligan with his play Witchland, W-I-T-C-H-L-A-N-D, Witchland. And as he said, he's just finishing November the 18th to December the 11th, I think it ran. Just shows you, you know, you get something like that, people put it on, people come and see it. As they say, put it on and they'll come. And that's what's happened in this case. Well, I'm back tomorrow with another guest. But until then, as always, we have one thing left to say. And I better explain this, because I always say this and then the music comes in, because it does say, you know, throw away your what's it? And anyway, you listen to it. There's one thing left to say. Don't forget. Make sure it's working.